Revelation 19, let's begin at verse 9. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I am truly excited today about getting into the message here in Revelation chapter 19 as we deal with the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is heaven. Now, one of the big reasons why I took an interest in studying and preaching on the book of Revelation was to learn more about that eternal state for each Christian. And there's no better way to do it than to analyze this book of Revelation. And as we come to these closing chapters, 19 right through to 22, we're going to learn lots and lots about heaven. I pray that it will be a comforting word to your heart in these terrible days of death and fear and tragedy that are across our nations. And I trust that God will minister to your heart, that you will hear the Savior's voice speaking to you today, calling you to personal saving faith in the Lord Jesus. And truly, it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to get right with God. And if you have questions at the close of the program, I look forward to hearing from you. And of course, we'll give you all the details in the closing announcements today. So open your Bible, please, at Revelation chapter 19. Let's read, let us pray, let us seek God's face, and I trust that there will be a simple, clear message for your heart. That's my burden as a pastor here in my own church and on radio, to bring the message of the gospel to you today. Praise thee tonight that we have the inspired and living word of God in our hands. Now, Lord, write it on our hearts. Let us meditate and give ourselves to your word, that it will become food for our souls, that it will put within us that stamina, that spiritual grace, that we may be living witnesses for thee here in this world. We also pray that men and women will prepare for that great day of the Lord's return, and that thou wilt work thy will in every heart this evening. O Father, bless us and help in the preaching of thy word, I pray. In the Savior's name, amen. Amen. Well, I brought my old Bible tonight. Beulah bought me a very nice new Bible very recently for a very special occasion. And I've been trying to get into it, but I haven't been able to take the red pen or even a pencil and start scratching and underlining on it. And of course, I've done this with this Bible copiously. I'm not sure if you could even read some of the pages of this book of Revelation now, because I've been spending a lot of time in it, and I've got all kinds of little markers and notes and so on. And so when I came to come to preach tonight, I thought, you know, I need my old Bible. I need the one that I'm familiar with, and I got all these markings in. But I did use the new one this morning, so I'm between two Bibles here now. Now, in this chapter 19, we have, as I say, this amazing finale to the history of the world. But before we go there, I want us to think a little about the marriage supper of the Lamb. There are two diverse city dwellers on the earth. Those that are building for Babylon, that's the worldling. That's the wicked who are led by Antichrist. They have the mark of the beast. They are slaves of the forces that deny the Lord Jesus. Now, their destiny is really what we have in this passage. But we have firstly the destiny of the saints. And they are those who are of the city of Jerusalem. They are believers. They do not have the mark of the beast. They have rejected it. They have the mark of God upon them. And, of course, they are looking to the Lamb. And we began our reading in verse 9 with the statement, right, blessed. Oh, that just thrills the heart right there and then. Blessed, joyous. Well off. Here are the people who are privileged, who are led into that state of felicity, the fullness of intimate joy and communion with the Lord, and it's described as a marriage feast. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And what great joy and delight we will take in our Savior. Then we will truly blossom. Then we will be filled with all the sweetness that is ours in our Savior. But let me flip the coin. I want you to think about the joy that the Lord Jesus will have in that event as well. He will be the bridegroom. That will be the joyous day of the Lord Jesus. That's the day when he is going to see his bride. For her, he has lived. He has suffered and died. For her, he rose again. She is now before him, dressed in the very righteous garment that he, the Lord, has provided for his church. And as he looks upon his bride, as a groom may do on the wedding day, as he sees her walking down the aisle, and his eyes are fixed upon his beloved, what will he remember? He will remember the sufferings that he endured to purchase his bride. And I think of that text in Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Hebrews 12:2. for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. What was that joy? The joy of the wedding day, of the day when every one of his redeemed will be gathered home and he will present to his Father a glorious church, a beautiful bride, spotless, perfect in his own perfections. And the Lord will be thrilled with great joy in his bride. He will find sinners to be fitted for Holy Communion in heaven. You remember how the Pharisees criticized the Lord Jesus when he met with the publicans and sinners and ate with them? And their criticism was, this man eateth with publicans and sinners. They are the trash of society, and they're not worthy of such a dignified person to commune with them, but not in heaven. These sinners are washed, they are redeemed, they are bought, they are bestowed with beauty in the garments, and their natures are changed, and they are delightful company. There is no murmuring, no muttering, no complaining, no sinning, no bad language, no foul anything. There is but the sweetness of Holy Communion, because these are the glorified saints that are conformed into the image of God's dear Son. He will rejoice in his people turning to him more and more to enjoy more fully his love. Now, where did I get that thought from? Well, here on earth, we get distracted. Money, business, pressures, sickness, decisions, appointments, disappointments. We get into a state of mind where we cannot enjoy the Lord as we should. And we don't take those precious hours with the Lord as we should. But when we are in heaven, every believer will be fully enveloped in the love and delight of the Savior. There will be no distractions. Our gaze will be fixed on him, and we will have capacities to enter into the love of the Lord. Our hearts will be enlarged. Our love will be strong, and there will be such sweet delight in the Savior that the Lord will find our company reciprocative, mutual, delightful. That's the wonderful day of the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lord also will take delight because the roll call will be full. No one will be missing. All that the Father giveth me come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And everyone on that day will be present. There will be no lost sheep. It will not be the 99 with one lost. Everyone will be there when the roll is called. Everyone for whom Christ died and shed his blood, there will be no losses. There will be no diminishing of the number. And the Lord will not love us more, but he will indulge his love upon us more. You see, right now, tonight, if the Lord was to indulge his full love upon us, we couldn't take it. We don't have the capacity for it. We don't have the ability to fully enjoy it. It would overwhelm us. But in heaven, the Lord will lavish and pour out his love, manifesting all of his sweet delights in us in a beautiful, wonderful communion. You remember how the Lord said to the disciples, I have much more to say to you, but ye cannot yet receive it. There were things the Lord wanted to share with his disciples as his friends, but they didn't have the ability to take it in. And in heaven, the Lord will be our friend, and he will give us the secrets and the delights of his heart. And as to totally committed friends, the Lord will lay out all of his heart, all of his love, all of his law. And in response to the Lord pouring out his soul to us, we will grow and be joyous for all eternity. That's the hope of the Christian. And that's the destiny of those who are followers of the Lamb And whatever we may suffer in this world, whatever we may have to endure as a Christian, we will be eternally compensated and given eternal rewards. Not with gold and silver, not with material things, but with a sweet enjoyment of our Lord Jesus. And if you've tasted a little of his love in your heart here on earth, just imagine what it will be to enjoy the fuller, deeper, broader, higher love in heaven itself. Now, in contrast to that scene of the marriage supper and the festivities of that wedding for all eternity, you have the scene of eternal destruction for the wicked. And we're going to move on down verses 9, right down through this chapter, and we will see that here the Lord declares total loss of the ungodly. They will reap what they have sowed. They on earth have made war with the Lord, and now the Lord will wage war with them. And this becomes the battle of the ages, and this rebellion against God shall be put down. Look at verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. War? And this is the Lord making war. Why? Because our sins were a declaration of war against him. There was war in heaven when Satan was cast out. There was war in the Garden of Eden when the devil tempted Adam to take of that forbidden fruit. It was Adam who fired the first shot of rebellion against the holy God and said, I will have my own way and make my own rules. You see, you need to realize what sin is. Sin is not just some little trivial thing to sweep under the carpet. Sin is a declaration of war against a holy God that I will not have this man to rule over me. I will be my own God. That's what sin is in God's sight. And every time man chooses sin, he or she shakes his or her fist against God and defies the God of heaven. Now, in this study, we will scan down these verses to see the fate of those who declare war against God through their sin. Now, I have five major headings. I hope to preach them all tonight. Number one, their judgment will be righteous. Look at that verse 11. In righteousness, he doth judge and make war. Then secondly, their conqueror shall be unbeatable. Meet him on a white horse. Their defeat will be total. Just look for the fowls that come to eat their flesh. The satanic trinity shall be destroyed. They're going to be cast into a lake of fire. And then their existence on earth will be totally erased. And God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So that's the five ends result of making war with God. Now, as I said, this is the end of world history. This is the great day of the Lord's return. It is the judgment day. The Lord spoke of that day when Christ would come and gather his sheep and he would sort out the goats. Paul talked about looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior. And Paul again spoke about the Lord coming, that he would destroy the wicked with the brightness of his appearing. John the Apostle, right in the very first chapter of the book of Revelation, he spoke about, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they which also pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Now, you're familiar, I think everyone here tonight is familiar, that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation teaches that there's going to be a second coming of the Son of God. He came the first time as our Savior in Mary's womb. He's coming the second time on a white horse, conquering and to conquer. And so want us to educate ourselves, inform ourselves of what the Bible exactly teaches. Because in this passage, we have the fine print. We have more detail. We often preach as preachers, the Lord is coming. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. He shall suddenly appear. The door will be shut. We preach in those general terms. But here we have a lot of specifics. The first one then, verse 11, is that their judgment shall be righteous. And we're going to read verses 11 through 13. And we will learn here that everything about that judgment day is exactly, precisely, unquestionably just. Let's begin at verse 11 then. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. He himself is personified as true. And he comes in righteousness. He doth judge and make war. Verse 12 speaks of his eyes, whereas a flame of fire. These are the piercing eyes. These are the searching eyes of the omniscient Son of God. And he will search out the truth. Then in verse 12, you find also that he hath on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now, this is not easy to grapple with, the name that no one comprehends. Well, we know many titles to the Lord Jesus. He's called the Word, the Logos, the Faithful, the True, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is given many titles in the Bible, but his unknown name, the name that no one can comprehend, it tells us that there are depths in the Son of God that the finite human mind can never grasp. We can never know the Son of God as he is fully divine. If we could comprehend God, we would be God. If we could comprehend God, he would no longer be God, because he'd no longer be infinite. And so what is revealed of our Lord Jesus, we know. But there are depths, there are wonders in his person that will take us all eternity to discover. And he is to be searched out. But such is his knowledge and his omniscience that he knows us. And he will search us. And his judgment will be righteous. In verse 13, he's described as the Word of God. Now that in John's Gospel is the Logos, the revelation of the Father. And everything that God has to say to mankind, he says through his Son. It must then come as no surprise that when the Lord comes as judge, that he will judge righteously. There will be no appeals. There will be no second guesses. There will be no determination. This is not fair. This is the one who knows it all, who cannot lie, and he will summons all witnesses and judge righteously. And there will be no cover up on that day. There will be no running or hiding. Every mouth shall be stopped, and the evidence against every sinner will be damning. And all will have to agree with the sentence that is given. The evidence will be so overwhelmingly clear that no one will open their mouth and say, "Ah, but that's not fair." Everyone will receive their just deserts by their idle words, their thoughts, their deeds, and they will be stacked up and presented. The judge shall judge righteously.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, and this is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I know that today's message has been very hard-hitting, but it is the truth. It is the truth as revealed in the Bible, and these are the eternal realities. And so we each need to prepare to meet the Lord, to be right with God. And the good news is that God has sent us a wonderful Savior, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who at the cross defeated death and paid the price for sin by shedding his own atoning blood. Blood that works reconciliation to all who believe in the Savior. And I do call you to trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's how you're saved. That's how you are made right with God, by being cleansed, by being washed, by taking refuge in the atoning work of the Lord Jesus when he died on that cross. And when you call upon him to save you from your sins, he promises to do exactly that. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so again, it is time to seek the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we come in prayer in Jesus' name. We ask that you will write this word upon each heart. I pray, Lord, that you will call sinners, those who to this point, this hour, have not bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus, but have been clinging to their sins, trusting in their own ways, and have not surrendered their all to thee. O Lord, we pray that you will hear the cry of sinners who plead the power of Jesus' precious blood. And I pray today that you will hear from heaven and answer that cry. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now remember, if I can help you, make sure you get in touch. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I hope that I can be of personal help to you if you have prayer requests, prayer needs, and of course, if you can read the Bible, go to the Bible. That's the key need as you would seek God's salvation. And I would recommend John's Gospel. Read John's Gospel. Pray the Lord will open your mind and heart to understand the way of salvation. In these times of fear and almost panic in our land, this is the true place to find peace. We are called to prepare to meet our God, but we need to know the Savior, and you need to call upon him to save you from your sins. I also want to invite you to join with us each day at this time for these programs on your local station. I also want to invite you on Sundays to listen in to our webcast from our Free Presbyterian Church. These are online services by webcast. Now go to our website at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday evenings, Pacific time, here in Greater Vancouver, and go to cloverdalefpc.ca. And at 10:30 and 6 p.m. local time here in Vancouver, you can join us for our online services. Now, my cell number is 604-897-2040. And I look forward to hearing from you. Give me a call, send me an email. Let me know you're tuning in. May God bless you through his word.